Welcome back to the TOEFL Training Institute podcast, everyone. This week, we're talking about online language teacher development. It's interesting to see how this has changed over the course of my career. That before I started teaching in 2006, I did a one-month face-to-face teacher training course that I did find quite useful in helping me prepare for the classroom. But since then, every course I've studied has either been completely online or blended, but with really relatively little face-to-face elements. And I think this shows that for teacher trainers now, the skills that they need to have to be effective are really very different from what they were 15 or 20 years ago. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk to Tom Kiddle, director at Nile, about some of the benefits of online teacher development, some of the skills that teacher trainers need to have to be effective online, and some of the specific techniques that they can use to help trainees get the most out of courses. Tom's worked at Nile since 2011. He's got a master's degree in language testing, and he's the treasurer and founding director of the Association for Quality Education and Training Online. So I can think of few people better placed to talk to us about online teacher development than Tom. Enjoy the interview. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to the podcast. To begin with, in my experience, people tend to think of online teacher development as being something that's more convenient and perhaps cheaper, but generally less effective than face-to-face teacher development. I know that's not your point of view. So tell us, how are online interactions different from those that happen face-to-face? And what are some of the advantages of those online interactions for teacher development?
Yeah, I'm obviously a huge advocate of the potential of online learning, online teacher education. Of course, there are aspects of face-to-face training, workshops, courses, longer programs, which are irreplaceable. And, you know, that whole cultural and linguistic immersion side, if we're going to another country, a country where the language is spoken, going into a different environment, the social side of building a community of practice through the informal out-of-class sessions is really important. But within online learning, you've got so much variety nowadays. You know, we're not talking anymore about upload a PDF and put a forum to discuss it. We've moved on from there. I hope other people have as well as the developments in language teacher education. But we've got such variety for blending. And I think what perhaps was a challenge in face-to-face teacher education was the expectation of immediate response. You know, you're in a face-to-face setting, so what happens, happens in the here and now. And there's always a syllabus to keep to. There's always a timetable. So revisiting aspects after a period of reflection and further reading doesn't always happen. The ability, if you have a slightly lower confidence in your own language proficiency, to be confident in what you share as your output, how you create your own identity as a participant in a teacher education program, is so much easier to manage and to moderate online when you've got the chance to think about your responses, when you've got the chance to check the language and what you want to express. And that's all without considering the really fundamental feature, which I think is the opportunity for reflective learning, reflective practice. And particularly when we're doing more extended programs where you can take ideas that you've learned from your tutor, the materials in your course mates, apply that to your own teaching context, reflect on it and bring it back to a subsequent session. So you really get this cross-contextual mix that's not just the experiences of the participants from before, but the experience of the participants while they're learning, really focused on the topics, the themes you're discussing, and the ability to read around the topic for the tutor to feed in new ideas, to respond to emergent ideas, a crucial part of tutoring online, which I think is really, really valuable.
You mentioned there that people now have gone beyond just upload the PDF and discuss. Can you tell us what are some of the alternatives to doing that online? Because I'm not sure that actually everyone has gone very far beyond read the PDF and discuss.
Yeah, I think several of them that we've developed at Nile to create this space to elicit ideas at the start. So it's like a community wall, we call it, where people can share initial ideas, getting ideas out that are attributed to a person, but can be categorized, can be moved around just as we would with post-it notes on a physical whiteboard. So really having short bursts of activity at the start of a sequence of learning. One of the tools that we have in the Nile programs is threaded video discussions, where you can see some video content, but then you can ask questions and make comments at different points in that video. And that becomes then a threaded discussion. So you're actually interacting with others around critical moments within a video rather than watching a video and commenting it at the end. We also have much more possibility for asynchronous multimodal content. So learners uploading their own responses to tasks and activities, either via webcam, via recorded video, via audio recording, via text. So they have much more choice in the mode of engagement, the one that suits them at that particular moment, their preference for that activity. And then we have all of the co-constructed learning that comes from being able to bring your context into the course, whether that's through image, whether that's through video, whether that's through writing about it. We've got so much opportunity for this collaborative learning. And we have to remember that in teacher education. Unless we're at a complete pre-service education course with 100% novice teachers, there's no blank slates here. Everybody's bringing the experience of their own classrooms, either as a learner or as a teacher. And so you've got this hugely rich resource to draw on. And drawing on that, I think, can really make courses come alive, whether online or face-to-face.
You mentioned there everyone bringing their own context into the training. I think this is really interesting because people tend to think of distance as being a disadvantage in learning. But of course, if teachers are learning online, then that means that they are physically somewhere else. They've got to be learning probably in their own school. And I think there's so many benefits for teachers taking, say, an online teacher training course while they're actually located in their regular school. I mean, they can try out things in their own classes. They can report back to the group on things that worked, share videos of their lessons, ask for support related to the materials they're working on. And of course, they're just in greater proximity to their students while they're learning, which is something I think that generally doesn't happen if you're doing a face-to-face training course where teachers might get pulled out of their current context for a week or a month or however long, travel to another city or perhaps another country. And I think in those face-to-face contexts, that can make transfer, so actually getting teachers to apply what they learned in those training courses, much more challenging. But for those online teacher development courses, a lot of the interactions tend to happen on these online forums. And a lot of trainers' work there is about responding to trainees and prompting learning. Can you tell us about how trainers can make the most of online forum interactions? And how can they help teachers make the most of what they bring from their own contexts?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the principles that we talk about is this idea of weaving and waving. So a skilled tutor actually being able to find connections between different posts, between different ideas, and pull them together. And the waving is highlighting individual responses. And that has the dual purpose of pointing at and pointing to particular examples of good practice or particular interesting ideas, but also of acknowledging and recognizing those participant contributions in what's otherwise quite a faceless space. And you can often feel that you're writing as a participant, you're writing into a void, and you're never sure whether it's being read or who it's being read by or when it's being read. So the tutor's got a responsibility to acknowledge and recognize those contributions. I think that's a really important factor in motivating participants to engage with the asynchronous content, is that recognition. And then there's another side of kind of more tutor skills, which we call seeding, feeding, and harvesting. So the seeding is kind of planting those initial ideas, the task instructions perhaps, or the content you want people to consider, or the particular critical incident. And then as the discussion takes off, then you're feeding in additional ideas, additional resources, additional links perhaps. And then harvesting, which is really a crucial feedback role for the teacher, drawing out the greater ideas and drawing out the points that you want people to focus on, summarizing the content so people have a takeaway from a discussion, rather than this feeling that, well, the discussion will gradually fade out and, you know, nobody really brings it to a close. And I think that's particularly in courses which try to cover a lot of content, as an MA program does. You really need that kind of closure of an activity and summary, because we've got this anytime, anywhere concept of engagement with a course. So you need to say, okay, here are our time frames, here's when I'll be summarizing, here's when the harvesting of your ideas will happen, to keep people engaged and in the same roughly lockstep approach to the content.
Yeah, I really like those ideas of seeding, feeding, and harvesting. And I think they're also interesting for teacher trainers who might be training face-to-face to also think about. But another big difference between online and offline teacher training, I think, is in the timing, which is something you mentioned there. I know that trainees often say that doing an assignment online takes much longer than it does face-to-face, but that's not necessarily because they're learning more slowly, but perhaps because they're learning more deeply. Can you tell us a bit about that phenomenon?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you've got this wealth of resource that we have available to us if we have our internet connection and we have a good platform and curated resources that are relevant to your topic. So there's this combination of input and ideas that you're going to get from your tutor, that you're going to get from the suggested core reading, that you're going to get from your fellow course participants. And everything kind of is another skin and layer on the onion that you can dive more deeply into, or you can personalize, you can bring your own experiences in, you can reflect on. And I think, you know, when we're getting to the level of teacher education programs that encourage reflective practice, that's not a process that happens instantly. And if it is, it's not, you know, very effective. So you just get that depth of potential secondary research, but also the time for reflection, the time for practice and reflecting on what's happening in your own context or in your future context. So I think you just get that breadth of coverage, which doesn't necessarily come if you're asked to do this in a face-to-face setting, in time conditions, or to hand in tomorrow because we've only got a week to work together. I think that's what the online space really does allow and encourage.
Yeah, and also online trainees are also thinking and learning when they're away from their computers as well. So for me, one of the great things about an online teacher development course is that the learning can also go beyond the confines of the course, which I think is something that probably happens a little bit less face-to-face. Having said that, sometimes online, the learning can just stop altogether. And I've found that one of the biggest challenges of online teacher development courses is that dropout rates tend to be a bit higher than they are face-to-face. Is this something you've also found? And what do you and the other trainers do in Nile to keep learners engaged in those online courses?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge, and it's one of those things that I think one of the crucial things is setting and managing expectations at the outset of a program. Really important in part of the inspections we do as Acquedotto of online language teaching providers, like really looking at the way they set those expectations and highlight to the students what the commitment is, because yeah, it's not something to be undertaken lightly. As you know, we both know an MA program demands a lot of you. But then once you're in the course, it's really crucial. One of the things I mentioned earlier, this recognition and highlighting of contributions is really important. So people feel that they're being noticed and that their contributions are valuable. And also they'll see that their classmates' observations are being recognized. And, you know, there's that sense of, well, I'm part of this course, I should be doing this. And, you know, you have to accept that different things happen in different people's days, weeks, and lives that challenge this commitment. But we encourage a lot of, for want of a better word, chasing the tutors individually, contacting participants saying, you know, I noticed you haven't been able to contribute to this activity. Is everything okay? Do you need more time? Do you need more support? And that individual kind of care and attention is part of our learner experience at Nile. It's part of our ethos and it's part of our reputation, really. So that's a crucial part of a tutor's competence. That for us has resulted in incredibly high continued participation rates in our programs, where people are committed to their individual professional development activities from the start. We have 89 to 94% completion rates. You compare that to a MOOC where you haven't got that individual feedback, you're relying on the collaboration element to give that validity to your own contributions. You're seeing, you know, 10, 15% completion rates. And in the difference lies the amount of work and, of course, the price. That's why MOOCs can be free. And that's why, you know, an online MA program or a professional development program, if it's too cheap, just think about what you're actually going to get in terms of the support and feedback that we know is crucial to learning, whether learning as a language learner or learning as a teacher educator.
One more time, everyone. That was Tom Kiddle. If you'd like to get access to some of the wonderful free resources that Tom and his colleagues at Nile have created, click on the link in the show notes. For more podcasts from us, check out our website, www.tefltraininginstitute.com. And if you'd like to support us, you can now buy us a coffee. Again, there's a link in the show notes to do that. Thanks to all of you who have done that recently. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye.